Tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. I have a lengthy reading for you this evening, but I think it will serve well to introduce to us the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. Joshua chapter 6. I will be reading verses 1 through 5. And then I will be skipping down to verse 15 and continuing through verse 21. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. And the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you near hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and every man straight before him." Now verse 15. "But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day they only marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, the priest blew their trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who were in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you shall by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make this camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord.' So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. The people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword." You know, ever since Cain killed Abel, there has been fighting and warring with mankind. This is something that every century has seen since the beginning of time, basically. This is something that every generation has seen. The history of man is dotted with battles. Some are great battles, and we remember them well, having studied them from our history books. The Battle of Waterloo, the Battle of Normandy, Custer's Last Stand, Pearl Harbor, Hiroshima. All of these we remember well because we have studied about them. And there have even been some unusual battles to take place and was fought in unusual ways. And one thing that comes to mind is the Battle of Troy. You know, it was the Battle of Troy that the Trojan horse was rolled up to the gate of the city. And you know, we've often used the phrase, you shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Maybe this was one instance when they should have looked the gift horse in the mouth. Perhaps the most unusual and best known battle known to mankind was this one that we just read about, the Battle of Jericho. This is a captivating story of how God fought for Israel. The story has been told many times in sermons and Bible classes and even in song. We teach the children songs about this battle. Yet, this story was not given to us for entertainment, to let us see just how good winning a war can be. It was for the purpose for us to understand the power of God. You know, there are some very eternal principles given to us about the God that we serve that comes from the Battle of Jericho. So for the next few minutes, I would like for us to learn some of God's unusual plans and that came from the Battle of Jericho and how we can use those in our lives today. First of all, I want to suggest to you that faith is required when you carry out one of God's unusual plans. You know, first of all, the city gates had been closed because the people were in fear of this God and the children of Israel. We know that from Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that the people of Jericho lived in fear of the Israelites. And this is what it says. It says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came across out of Egypt. And what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And for the Lord your God, for he is God in heaven above and on earth." They already had established fear in God and in the children of Israel, who obviously God is helping to win every battle that they fight. But you know, I think maybe Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 really tells the story. "Now Joshua Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and its mighty men of valor. I have given Jericho to you, Joshua. Children of Israel, I have given the city to you, and you haven't done anything for it.' He said, 'The city is yours before you even try to take it.' That's how God can fight for his people. And just the knowledge of God had shaken these Jericho citizens in their shoes and had brought fear upon them, and they had lost all of their courage, and they were afraid. 'The city is yours, and it was yours before the battle even began.'" My friends, we need to understand that God can do this. He has the power to give you what you want and what you need in ways that you can't understand it. He is the source of all blessings. And another message here is there is nothing for us to fear because we have God on our side. So here's the plan. Simple plan. March around the city. March around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. Blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls will fall down. I have never seen that happen in any of our military excursions, have you? Well, the walls may fall down after the bullets and the bombs fly, but it takes a great effort to get walls to fall. Here, it was done simply by walking around the city, blowing a horn, and shouting. A very, very unusual plan. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It was an unusual strategy for a battle. But I don't have to tell you that sometimes God uses unusual plans and has unusual ways to execute his will. You know, there are many people today who think that Christianity doesn't make any sense. I mean, the very idea of somebody sending their son to die? Would you send your son to die? I would have sent somebody else if somebody had to die. Wouldn't send my son. You mean I have to get wet? Why do I have to get wet to be a Christian? Water isn't going to do anything to me spiritually. And what about this church attendance? Man, I can think of so many other places I would rather be right now. I can think of so many other things that I would rather be doing that would be good for me, that would be for my benefit, and here I am stuck here. And the idea of a Christian lifestyle, that's just preposterous. You expect me to be modest. You expect me to be honest. You expect me to be faithful. You expect me to be trusted. What a ridiculous thing to look at. Christianity makes no sense whatsoever in the eyes of so many people. But to Joshua's credit, he took these very unusual plans that God gave to him to take Jericho, and he did it. And because he followed the plan, he won the battle. Why didn't Joshua say, "Well, no, Lord, I don't mean to argue, but this doesn't make any sense to me. How can walking around anything make it fall?" Joshua didn't do that. Why? He had faith in his God. You need to understand, Joshua was standing right there when the Red Sea parted. He saw that. He saw that God fought against the Egyptian army while they crossed the Red Sea. Joshua knew the power of God. He knew what he was capable of. Yeah, these walls fell because of faith, not because of military strength. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." Salvation, Christianity, is an element of faith. And we must have that kind of faith, knowing that God can do what God does. Second thing we learn from this battle is that strict compliance is expected to his plans. Joshua made certain that the strategy of God was kept to the letter. He did not veer from God's instructions in any way, shape, form, or fashion. My friends, there has never been a time when God did not expect complete obedience. And we can go all the way back to the beginning of time. God expected obedience of Adam and Eve. Now, he didn't get it. And that's why we have to deal with sin today. He expected obedience from Cain and Abel as they sacrificed to him. But he didn't get it from Cain. And as a result of that, murder entered into the world because God's command was not obeyed. Noah had to follow God's plan to the letter, or that boat would not have floated and saved those who were on board. Nadab and Abihu lost their lives because they did not obey God and got fire from a strange place. And Naaman was only healed after he complied with God's command to dip in the Jordan that seventh time. God expects strict obedience today. He expected strict obedience from his son. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him." Even the Son of God was expected to obey his Father. And then Jesus tells us today we are expected to obey the Father as well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father which is in heaven." God expects us to obey him. And we can learn that lesson from the Battle of Jericho. Because if Joshua had not marched around that city the way God had told him to, those walls would not have fallen and they would have lost that battle. And then finally, we learn from this battle that God's plans work. They always have. And they always will. In verse 20 of our text, it says, "And it happened that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This ridiculous, unorthodox, unusual battle plan worked. Because God made it work. God's plan always works. There is never any need to question God's strategy in anything. Now, how many people do we have today who questions God's strategy? How many times have we ourselves questioned God's strategy? But God's strategy never fails. And there is no reason for us to doubt Him. We need to place our trust in Him with all of our heart. Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because our understanding can fail. How many battles have we lost because somebody didn't follow instructions? How many things have gone wrong in your life because you didn't follow instructions? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, Solomon said. He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. I ask you tonight, my friends, do you have things going on in your life that may seem to be impossible? Is it sort of like looking at this great river that's rushing down and you can't get to the other side and you don't know how to get to the other side? Is it like maybe you're looking at this huge mountain and you know you can't climb that mountain and you know you can't dig your way through it? And there's no way possible that you seem to be able to get to the other side? My friends, God specializes in impossible things. Every battle that we read of Israel fighting for the promised land, God won it for them. They didn't do it on their own. They had to place their trust in Him. And my friend, every battle that we fight in this life is going to be against evil. And every battle that we fight and every battle we lose is because somewhere down the line we did not follow God's instructions. So we need to learn to obey God in every way so we can win. God's strategy works. He has 1,000 ways to make your way work for you. So tonight, my friend, if you're not a Christian, God's strategy for you is to simply obey Him. Obey the gospel that has been given to you to follow. Come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as God's Son, being buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, that you may rise up to walk that Christian life. That's God's strategy for you to become a child of God. Most of us in here have done that. But we have to continue with obedience. We have to continue following God's plan. And there is none of us in this room who hasn't at one time or the other veered away from that plan. And it brought failure every time. So we need to come to God. We need to follow God and stay with Him. Because, again, God's plan works. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, we implore you to give your life to the Lord this evening because His plan can save you. If you are a Christian and you've walked away from God, you need to come back to God because, again, God's plan will bring you back and God's plan will save you. As unusual as it is, as ridiculous as it may sound, God's plan saves. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.